Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. It's time for Cub Chat Live. It's the best day of the week. I don't know if you all noticed, it's winter right now. We thought it would be a good idea to bring in my coworker, Tracy. Tracy is a health and safety specialist at Scouting America. We're going to talk about Cub Scout winter camping. Tracy, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having health and safety on board this cold Friday.
Exactly. This cool, crisp Friday. Tracy, we are glad to have you. What is up, Scouter Craig from Pack 3256 in Kent, Ohio, and John from New Berlin, Illinois, Pack 320. Thank you all for joining. Scouter Craig and John have commented. You all can do the same. If you have questions for Tracy or little old me about Cub Scout winter camping, would love to know what you guys do. The Cub Scout program is designed to be a year-round program, but obviously winter, I mean, you know, it's different. It's different for different folks in different places, and that's going to kind of be the topic of our show today. As we start off, Tracy, what can you tell us about, from a health and safety perspective, the national guidance on Cub Scout winter camping?
Yeah. So super excited to talk about this because fundamentally, we have camping guidelines, right? So that's adult supervision, our blue training, council approved properties, age appropriate activities. But is there a national policy on Cub Scout winter camping? So winter camping, right? That key word there. Scouting America, you know, does not have a uniform rule on saying X temperature you can go camping or X temperature you can't. I'm from New Mexico, so winter to me looks really different than someone does in Alaska or North Dakota, right? So we do not have a temperature guideline saying this is when you can and when you can't camp during the winter. But it's important for leaders and parents to decide based on their circumstances and, you know, the resources available to make this the most enjoyable, safe experience for, you know, all the participants.
Yep. Shout out to Wendy, who's watching from Elgin, Illinois. So that's two people from Illinois. I imagine it's a little bit chilly in Illinois. DJ is right down the street from us in Irving, although we have had recently very Illinois-like temperatures in Texas. But that's just a kind of a good example, right, of why maybe there's no official temperature guideline. Winter in Texas, or normally winter in Florida. I didn't know you were from New Mexico, Tracy. Winter in New Mexico, maybe quite different than winter in North Dakota or Wisconsin or Alaska or Maine or somewhere like that. For example, Brian's coming another Illinois, Villa Park, Illinois. Douglas is from Akron, Ohio. Hope you guys are having a good winter up there. As a former Cub Master, we did some winter camping, Tracy, in Texas, and it got down to a chilly temperature of maybe 60 degrees at night, right? The last couple of weeks in Texas, it's been down below freezing. So that's a little bit different. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the national guidance, we do encourage local Cub Scout leaders to make decisions based on the comfort level of their families and things like that, right?
No, definitely. I agree with you. I think, you know your environment and where you're from best, and why should we be telling you that this certain number is good to camp or not to camp? So use good judgment, right? Make the best choice you can for the safety of all of your individuals that are going to be joining you on this winter camping experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say that we don't have any guidance to offer at all. There are some resources behind the scenes. Brian is going to throw some of those up on the screen. And let's start off. We have a good question from Brian. Tracy, let's address this. Brian says, I was under the impression that Cub Scouts couldn't camp outdoors in freezing weather. This is news to me. Tracy and I were actually talking before we went live about how long we've been at the BSA. I've been there for 20 years, and I think Brian is right that there did used to be a guideline that said that, but there is not anymore. Tracy, can you confirm that?
Yeah. So there is no current guidance. So as of, I want to say within the past 10 years, some of that language has changed. As of now, we are not dictating what temperature is approved. That is based on your discretion and your counsel's. I see Rob over here saying it snowed on them in Dallas. So probably a colder camp out they had this last few weeks in Dallas, and they typically do. But, you know, I hope, Rob, you guys made good judgment on the temperatures and did the best you could with your unit or whoever you were camping with.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Brian, I think you're right. And Trace, I think you're right. At some point, there was a specific temperature guideline that was taken out because it's different everywhere you go. Behind the scenes, Brian has a question, Tracy. Do some councils have guidance? And that is correct. We do encourage everybody, if you do have a question, if you do have concerns, I think the general guidance we give, watch the forecast. Pay attention, right? As you would with any camp out, right? You're always supposed to be aware of the weather, thunderstorms. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. The same thing during the winter. And when, if you have any questions, if you have concerns, it's your local council. They know, they're quite frankly better qualified to comment on that than we are. Tracy, am I right about that?
No, that is 100% correct. They're point one. So when, you know, what advice, right? So, you know, focusing on safety, comfort, keeping activities age appropriate, you know, there's so many considerations when you're thinking about this. So do you have the proper gear, the proper clothing, right? Are you educated on hypothermia and frostbite for those individuals in Alaska that are camping at 2 below? You know, it's critical to have backup plans and be flexible, knowing that weather can change unexpectedly and impact your experience, and you might have to postpone it, right? So those are all things that you have to think about when winter camping as a whole, right? So my general advice there is be flexible. Winter camping is a beast of its own, right? You can't control the weather, but you can control what you're doing, how you prepare, and how you facilitate a safe environment for everyone.
Yep. And a good comment, by the way, from our official Cub Scout channel, who asks, what have your Cub Scouts been up to this winter? Brian has chimed in and said their Weebolos did a camp in their chartered organization's basement. Yeah, there's no reason why camping has to always be outdoors. I mean, obviously we encourage everyone to get outdoors, right? But in the winter, a camp in is certainly a viable option. Tracy, we talked, I think you mentioned this for a second, but there's a thing called SAFE. And now you haven't been at Scouting America as long as I have, Tracy, but you probably have learned that, boy, do we love our acronyms. We will come up with an acronym for anything. And one of those acronyms is SAFE, S-A-F-E. The SAFE checklist is very, very valuable for all kinds of camping, right? Especially winter camping. Tracy, maybe let's go through the topics. What does SAFE stand for? The S stands for supervision. Can you talk about that a little bit? Yep.
Yeah, right. So do you have adequate supervision is fundamental, right? This is the acronym to ensure that you're, you know, facilitating that safe experience. So supervision that, you know how to camp in Alaska during winter, right? So if I was an adult that was supervising it, I'm from New Mexico. I've never camped in anything probably below 65 because cold weather and me, we just don't get along, right? So I wouldn't be qualified supervision, right? Like I wouldn't know how to react in an instance where, you know, a scout or someone needed help because it was my first time camping in that environment too. So qualified supervision is really key here that, you know, understand the risk, understand everything about what the activities are going to be. So qualified, really keeping that on your forefront. So with supervision.
Yeah, it is important to spell out qualified and trustworthy supervision is the key there. Tracy, I'm like you. I would not be qualified to supervise a below freezing winter campout, which is why when my Cub Scouts went winter camping, it was barely below 60. So supervision, we've got, I'm sorry, for SAFE, we've got supervision. The A stands for assessment. What do we mean by assessment, Tracy?
Yeah, my favorite. So assessment can be anything from pre-planning, right? Making sure what we talked about earlier, ensuring we have proper gear, knowing how to layer your clothing effectively, being educated on hypothermia. So it's everything you do before the camp out takes place, right? So we often think we show up and then we're going to figure everything out. But like, there's so much planning, and really focusing on the assessment process will ensure that you're prepared, right? And that you know what to do in the event that something does occur or you need support.
And, you know, looking at this, Tracy, I just, something struck out to me again, being down here in Texas. We often will get ice when it's cold. Mm-hmm. And one of the categories of assessment is planning for safe travel to and from the activity site, right? We know that sometimes traveling to a camp out is not all, you know, maybe that's sometimes the riskiest part, right? Icy roads, snow. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Yes. Great to bring that up. You know, I'm so happy you did. That also can fall in equipment and environment, right? So, it's something we forget to think about. We think when you get there, when you, the event's over, but there's so much that, how are you going to get there? So we have a pre-trip transportation checklist. Also, we didn't bring this as a resource, but I'm so happy you did bring this up. That would be a checklist. It's a safe checklist to ensure that, you know, you are prepared for winter travel to and from your camp out.
And another aspect of assessment is developing contingency plans for changing in weather. Again, that would be true for any time of the year, right? But certainly during winter. Shout out to Pack 151 in Scottsdale, Pennsylvania. Would love to know what kind of winter camping you guys do. Richard from Pack 32 in Versailles, Kentucky, says April is earliest we go camping here, though March can be a beautiful time to get out in nature. The weather is so unpredictable to risk it. So that's the decision that Pack 32 has made. Love it, Richard. I bet April is a really, really fun, pleasant time to go camping in, I'm going to say Versailles. I think maybe that's how it's, that's pronounced, Richard, but let me know if I'm wrong. Shout out okay, Brian, who's watching on YouTube, says, Aaron, you barely know what ice is in Texas. Yeah, accurate. Fair, Brian. That is, I'm going to allow that.
Chicago comment. Seems cold.
I'm going to allow really that. Cold. I did one time visit a friend in Chicago for winter and was informed as to why I choose to live in Texas. So that's my comment on that. Okay, so safe. Supervision, assessment. The F stands for fitness and skill. This is an important one, as they all are. But Tracy, what do we mean by that?
Yeah. So make sure your annual health and medical records filled out, right? Like, are you able to camp out in winter, right? Like, you might have a medical condition that, you know, restricts you from cold weather camping, or, you know, if when you're planning your activities, maybe you can't go on a 27 mile hike, right? It's just not within fitness and skill level of someone in Cub Scout, right? So that's something that you address as well with the SAFE acronym.
Yep. Speaking of that, fitness and skill, I know we're going to talk about equipment here in just a second, but hiking in winter with heavy coats on and snow boots or whatever it is, a lot different than going for a walk in the nice spring or fall where it's nice and cool and you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt or whatever. It's takes a lot more work. I have learned that as a Cub Master myself. So fitness and skill, definitely important. We've done entire shows, Tracy, about the annual health and medical record and, the value of that, right? I mean, that exists for you guys to use as a tool to evaluate yourself, members of your unit, to make sure everybody's embarking on something that they are capable and can do safely. The final part of the SAFE checklist to review again, supervision, assessment, fitness and skill. The E stands for equipment and environment. We've touched on this a little bit, but Tracy, can you explain to the folks what that means?
Yeah, so it's equipment and environment. So do you have the proper gear to winter camp? So what you're taking when it's 104 out, sleeping bag-wise, is going to be look really different than what you're taking when it's 3 below, right? So that equipment is key. So what activities are you going to be doing? So are you going to do moderate sledding, or do you have helmets? Do you have that gear? And then environment, you know, the weather is always changing. I know across the U.S. currently, we're seeing crazy weather. It's snowing in Dallas, Texas, which used to not happen. And it's happened for the past 2 weeks. It's been chilly. Yep. So, you know, monitoring the weather beforehand, we touched on this earlier, but just to be cognizant that the weather is always changing and you have to be prepared with contingent plans in the event that something does occur.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let's get into that a little bit more, if you don't mind, Tracy. And, yeah. And by the way, shout out to Pack 777 in coastal North Carolina, where it is snowy there. Brian says in 2024, they camped in Southern Illinois to see the eclipse. April is exactly when that sounds like a fun camp out. Tracy, you and I experienced the eclipse together in Texas. Brian says they had a good time in Southern Illinois. That's very, very cool. So let's expand a little bit more about equipment and environment, because especially in cold weather, equipment is going to be key. It's different. Again, cold weather camping in Florida is going to require different equipment than cold weather camping in Maine. But one thing I can say as a recovering Cubmaster, as we call ourselves, what you want to do is make sure the experience is positive for the campers. A Cub Scout who goes out in the cold and is miserable and it's their first time camping, or even, you know, their second or third time camping, they're young. Mm-hmm. They're going to think, oh, this is what camping is. This stinks. I'm never doing it again. Right. And that's the exact opposite of what we want to do. Can you talk a little bit about equipment when it comes to cold weather camping and what we want to make sure our folks have, and or at least know they need to have?
Yeah. Back to acronyms, because we have a safety moment on stay warm and use the cold method. So cold stands for clean. O is overheating. L is loose layers, and D is for dry. So, keep your insulated layers clean and fluffy to maintain their effectiveness. So there's C. O is for overheating, so avoid sweating by adjusting your clothing layers. Stay hydrated with water. So there's O. L is loose layers. Wear several loose layers to allow maximum insulation and circulation. Also bright colors. Make sure you're wearing those bright colors in the snow. You don't want to blend in with the snow in case you fall and need help getting up and no one can find you in your white jumpsuit. But, and then D is for dry. So keep dry by brushing off snow before entering a heated area and avoid, you know, any of those moisture absorbing clothes. So another acronym to stay warm with the cold method. So that's an opportunity back to equipment and environment to kind of facilitate that proper equipment is utilized. That is a safety moment there. I think we just dropped it on the screen. So it's a great acronym. I use it all the time when I go into temperatures of 65, because I'm still cold. Mm-hmm. Great, great resource with that safety moment.
Yeah, that's one that can be used, again, just about all over the place, even if you're not actually going camping. Another acronym. You're right. We love our acronyms. When you're trying to stay warm, remember cold, C-O-L-D, clean, overheating, loose layers, dry. I think a lot of people maybe don't think about the prospect of overheating in the cold, but that is a thing that can happen, and can be dangerous. If you perspire, you get wet, you get damp. It's key to stay dry. If you're dressed properly, you can handle that by removing a layer or by wearing clothing that wicks away that moisture. Yeah, especially if you're doing outdoor activities, you can heat up quite a bit. Let's talk about hydration, Tracy. That's another thing people maybe don't think about when it's cold, right? But drinking water is just so as important. I don't know, maybe more important, right, in the cold?
Yeah, and those electrolytes are just so important. You think of dehydration only occurring in the summer months, but, you know, it's just as important in the winter. So appreciate you bringing that up as well. That's a really good point and something for everyone to consider when they're doing their assessment with their SAFE acronym, to ensure that, you know, they have the system in place to make sure everyone is hydrating properly in the cold temperatures. I know, who wants to drink ice water when it's when you're cold outdoor camping? So whether it's a warm tea or something that you can utilize to keep your body temperature up, but also keep you hydrated in the process.
Yeah, for sure. Hydration important. Eating the right kind of food is important. There's some information on that in the safety moment that we dropped in the comments before. But drinking when thirsty, eating the right kind of food, because eating food is what keeps your body warm, right? You can have all the jackets on in the world, but if you're not eating properly, your body's not going to stay warm. So all that is good stuff in our winter safety moment that we linked before. Another thing, I think this is another link we have, the Guide to Safe Scouting has obviously, that's kind of our Bible, right, for all kinds of activities. It's a long document, folks, but you can search it, thankfully, and you can search it for winter camping. And there's information in there. Some of the stuff we've gone over, qualified supervision, equipment, physical fitness, planning, things like that. Here's an item, Tracy, maybe we can talk about. The Guide to Safe Scouting mentioned something called a safe area.
Awesome.
Yeah, can we talk about what that means? Leaders should determine whether an area for winter camping is well suited and free of hazards.
Yeah, definitely. So a part of the assessment process with Cub Scout unit coordinated camping, this is a family focus, but it's limited to council design locations with proper facilities. So that is part of the policy around camping, whether it's winter or summer or spring or fall. So that goes back to ensuring that, you know, where you're going to have your camping experience or environment is safe and following the policy of Scouting America.
Got it. Richard, I appreciate your kindness, sir. I wasn't going to correct you, but it's pronounced Versailles, like horse sales. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Richard. I'm used to being corrected. It happens to me all the time. It's totally fine. So thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. Wendy has done something very useful. Wendy has tagged some friends. Encourage all of you to do that if you have a friend who you think might enjoy this video. As a reminder, when we're done, the video will still be here. You can go back and watch it. And in case you haven't heard, we're a podcast now, so you can go listen to this in your podcast. Exactly. When you go on your jog or your commute or whatever, shout out to Gina who came up with that idea. Let's talk about, real quick, there are some activities, Tracy, that we don't want Cub Scouts to do in the winter. Some of them are probably seen kind of obvious, ice climbing, things like that, that older scouts do. Some of them maybe not, but let's talk about campfires. Tracy, obviously, you know, everybody loves campfires, right? What do we want to communicate about campfires, though?
So let's drop the age appropriate. Well, you guys are so on it, right? Age appropriate guidelines for scouting activities, a part of the Guide to Safe Scouting. But this is our policy, a resource. It's a great visual you can have on your phone, and it talks about what's appropriate to do it, you know, Lion Cub Scouts or Tiger Cub Scouts. And part of that is fire building and cooking outdoors and, you know, what level scouts are able to participate in a given activity. So cooking outdoors over open flame, you know, has risk, especially in the cold weather. So, you know, it should be done in a very controlled environment, as indicated on the age appropriate guidelines for scouting activities. So using camp stoves to ensure safety is critical. And this guideline is a resource to ensure everything you facilitate for your scouts is age appropriate.
Yes. The age appropriate guidelines. I use those all the time in my job when I'm writing because I need to give good advice. This is another one of those documents, Tracy, that is good year round, but especially during winter camping. Folks will notice there's no temperature listed, as we've discussed earlier, but it does list activities like fire building and cooking and things like that. Definitely a valuable tool. Is there anything else, Tracy, that I'm not thinking about that we want to discourage in general for winter camping? Have we covered it all?
I mean, that's a lot. So we don't have a program for winter. My mind is going blank. ATVs for the winter, snowmobiles. There we go.
Yep.
They're prohibited in scouting, right? We don't have that even for our older youth programs. So that's a big no-no. We're not going to, you know, ice climbing. There's a lot out there that's just not age appropriate, and that's indicated on the age appropriate guidelines. But keep in mind, anything you're doing, you know, really take a step back and say, is this appropriate? We might not have it explicitly listed out like camp. Roasting a marshmallow, right? We're saying overall, we don't support cooking outdoors or fire building for, you know, a Lion Cub Scout, right? It's just not age appropriate. So good judgment is important here and something you really take a step back and remove yourself from the situation and say, hey, is this a good choice for the scouts that will be participating? So
we could probably do a whole show on campfire safety. Definitely recommend using those guidelines if campfire is appropriate in your area. We've talked about things we shouldn't do in camping, but maybe let's talk about things that are okay to do. Tracy, I mean,
this is the fun part.
Yeah, exactly. Cub Scout activities in the hole, in the cold. You said a 27-mile hike. Yeah, probably not a 27-mile hike, but depending on the temperature, maybe a half a mile or something like that. I don't know, Tracy, what do you think?
Yeah, so many adventures can be adapted to winter settings to keep, you know, scouts active and engaged. If I just run down the list, I'll start with Lion Cub Scouts. Enjoy winter games like sled racing or snowball tossing, snowman relays. There's tons there. If we go to Tiger Cub Scouts, can explore nature on winter hikes or observe wildlife, right? Like, it's beautiful. When it's, you know, snowing, just sitting there and looking at the snow. I mean, that's an entertainment in itself. A wolf, right? So wolf Cub Scouts can participate in winter sports like relays or maybe an obstacle course to develop that fitness while enjoying that cold weather. So anything you do in the summer, it more than likely can be modified or changed to do in the winter. So there's not much limitations there. Let's think about bears, right? So they can do a funniest joke contest around the campfire, right? They can do charades. I mean, there's just so much I could go on for hours. Yep. Don't forget those weeblos and arrows of light that can, you know, start focusing on maybe some of those fire starting or not tying mm-hmm. with glove skills, building shelters, right? There's so much, and you're not limited just because of the weather is something that I think is really important. Because when I think of camping, it may look different, right? But it's still going to, anything you're going to do that's, you know, age appropriate and getting scouts active and engaged and having a good time in the winter is going to benefit each of them. So does anyone have any fun games that I missed? I know I love seeing games. I know my nephew went on a winter camp out recently, and he came back and they were doing snow angels, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. so fun. Who can make the yep. biggest snow angel? I mean, it's really limitless there.
Yep. Very, very cool. We have just a few more minutes mm-hmm. with Tracy, our health and safety specialist, talking about Cub Scout winter camping. As a former Cub Master, the one thing that we never want to do is cancel a camp out, right? But it's also important that we be smart. Tracy, can you share any advice on, you know, if a Cub Master is thinking about, or whoever's organizing a camp out, adult leader, thinking about pulling the plug on an event, what's your advice? What kind of things? Yeah,
so about? Happy we talked about this, closing it out. We can probably talk about this for 3 hours, but
yeah, for sure.
You know, if weather conditions become too extreme or hazardous, it's always better to err on the side of caution, right? Always, I'm going to say that again, always better to err on the side of caution. So if you're thinking about it, if you're thinking the temperatures are forecasted to dip dangerously low and, you know, there's a winter storm warming, you know, it's wise to cancel or postpone the camp out to a later date. I always say err on the side of caution. So if there's any concern about temperatures or about wind, it's heartbreaking to cancel, right? We've all been there. Scouts are so excited to go outdoors. And then you have to say, hey, the weather's too bad. But you can always reschedule, right? Or postpone. So just because the weathers are bad this weekend doesn't mean they're going to be as or similar next weekend, right? So always err on the side of caution when, you know, conditions become too extreme or hazardous.
Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier. I can't remember which acronym it was in, but it talked about having a backup plan. Maybe the backup plan is canceling. Maybe the backup plan is going inside. Maybe the backup plan is doing it 2 weeks later. Like you said, Tracy, you have options. I will say, again, as a Cub Master who has been through this before, a young person, if you cancel a camp out, the short term, it's disappointing. But they're not going to remember that for the rest of their lives. What they will remember is being miserable. That is something that will stick with them if they're miserable. And if, you know, even worse, we don't want to say it, if they get sick or get hurt or something like that, that's something they're going to remember. So we definitely encourage you to err on the side of caution. We kind of touched on this earlier, Tracy, but for guidance on that, we do encourage you to go to your local council, right? Because there are people, there are experts at your local council who know your area. They're following the weather. Really, pick up the phone, call the local office. hey, we've got a camp out plan for this weekend. What do you think? They would be happy to provide you some advice on that. Our last link for the day is the general camping guidelines, Tracy, for Cub Scout camping.
Awesome.
Our viewers probably know that that's been updated in the last year or so about who can go camping and who can't go camping and training required and all that stuff like that. But Tracy, let's just, we have just a few more minutes here. The general guides for camping, valuable resources for Cub Scout leaders. What kind of stuff can they find in there, Tracy?
Yeah. So the Guide to Safe Scouting has great policy. It lays it out. I find it really simple. It tells you what you can and can't do, right? So we have all those resources that we've talked about, and using the foundation of the SAFE acronym is really going to ensure a safe experience for everyone. So I think everyone can agree that safety is a value that has to be taught and reinforced at every opportunity. And, you know, we need to really step back and when planning these events to ensure everyone has a positive experience, like you touched on earlier. So a great resource to close out today. But
yeah, for sure. Kind of everything we talked about is in there. Required training, approved sites, Cub Scout unit level camping versus, you know, council level events, camping with scouts, BSA troops, information like hazard trees. I mean, that's we could do a whole show on that, right? Trees that are covered in snow for sure. Lightning risk. Yeah, that can happen in the winter as well. There's all kinds of information there in the Guide to Safe Scouting. A lot of things to consider. Again, I think the general advice is use common sense, right? Make a decision that's best for your area. Tracy, have we left off anything else? Is there anything else that we need to cover?
Oh my gosh, we could go on for hours, but this was fun. I appreciate you having us. I hope everyone has a, you know, happy, safe winter camp out this year. I always enjoy looking at everyone's photos. So send them in, post them in the chat, because that could always be fun as a post actual item. So that's all I got for you. I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Tracy, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it very much. Thanks to all of you who have commented with questions. We appreciate that. Again, this video will stay here when we're done. You just go back, and if you missed anything, watch it all again, or you can download it as a podcast. Tracy, this has been fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well,
thank you all.
Stay warm, everyone.
Yes. Everybody stay warm. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next week. So long, everybody. Bye, Tracy.
Bye.
For tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live. Except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.